The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
90% of the votes now counted. Political landscape has changed quite significantly since yesterday. Take us through it.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say, Howard, good morning to you, is my hero for yesterday was that official from the election committee who decided that he'd had enough of being awake all the time and that his body was tired and he needed to go and rest in the middle of the day. And we are told as a result of that, that the count of the election was actually held up while he went to rest so that he could become recharged and get on the job. So I just wonder why they didn't have a replacement for him. Then there were some denials about it. But, you know, I like a person who listens to his body. And when he's tired, he needs to go and rest. And the nation will wait another few hours until he can get rested. Yes, indeed, the landscape has changed. And the reason that the landscape has changed is because the Arab Ra'am Party, which was predicted not to get enough votes to get over the minimum threshold required for seats in the Knesset, now seems to have overturned that. And all three of the exit polls predicted that Ra'am would not be in this Knesset. And now we understand, with 92% of the votes counted, that Ra'am will be in this Knesset in some form or another. At one stage, Ra'am was running with enough votes to achieve 6 seats in the Knesset. At the moment, it's looking more like 5, having weakened a little bit as the vote continues. But it seems almost unavoidable now that Ra'am will be in the Knesset. And those 5 seats that Ra'am controls have become the critical point of contention about how the parties might line up and how coalition might be put together. Because whereas yesterday when I spoke to you, I thought that the Netanyahu bloc would be able to form a majority government if they succeeded in courting Naftali Bennett and getting him involved in their coalition. Now, even the support of Naftali Bennett, it seems, will not be enough. According to the latest numbers, if the Netanyahu bloc manages to get Naftali Bennett to support them, they will still only have 59 out of the 120 seats, which means that they will not have a majority and therefore they will not be able to effectively form a government. So this now becomes highly controversial as to whether Netanyahu and the Likud will be prepared to include an Arab party in the ruling coalition for the first time in Israel's history. The Ra'am party apparently was already the source of some attention before the election, because we saw Prime Minister Netanyahu talking about the possibility of cooperating with Mansour Abbas, the leader of Ra'am. They had some meetings together. Netanyahu seemed to talk to the Likud members about getting them ready for the possibility of cooperating with Ra'am. And it seems as if those predictions have now really come to bear. And Ra'am effectively holds the balance of power because neither of the two big blocs will be able to form a majority government unless they have the support of either Ra'am, which is the smaller of the two Arab parties, or alternatively the Joint Arab List, which holds 6 seats. They together have 11 seats, and the split down the middle between the Netanyahu bloc and the anti-Netanyahu bloc, each one has less than 60 seats anyway, 59 or 53, depending on how you count it up. So this is going to be a very, very fascinating story, because we know that there are those people, there are those groups within the Netanyahu bloc, particularly the ultra right-wing religious Zionist party, who have made it clear that they would never be willing to sit in a coalition with that Arab party, even though the Ra'am party doesn't necessarily represent the most extreme Arab views, the most anti-Israel, anti-Zionist views that we've often seen coming out of members of Knesset. It is, of course, very controversial to have to sit with a party which openly calls for certain policies which seem to be very contrary to certainly what the religious Zionists would want to be involved with, and potentially what a much broader swathe of Israeli Jewish society would not be willing to give up on. So there is certainly a conflict that's going to arise here. And the question is whether the Prime Minister may well be able to form a government by relying on the support of Ra'am from outside of the coalition. That seems to me to be the only possible way in which the Prime Minister can really form a coalition without breaking it up on the from the start by including Ra'am in the coalition. So my bet is that if indeed the Prime Minister is able to succeed in forming a government, it is most likely to be a minority government, controlling probably 59 seats, I'm guessing, if Naftali Bennett agrees to join him, but relying on the support of Ra'am from outside of the coalition, in return for which, of course, he will have to reward Ra'am with a lot. He will have to be very generous in his rewards to Ra'am to give them certain concessions, even though they might not form part of the coalition. So that, to me, seems the only solution. The alternative to that is a fifth round of elections, which
don't put it out there. Don't put it out there, as my wife often says to our kids. Don't put it out there, Anthony.
It's kind of out there, even if I don't put it out. It's already been discussed even before the last round of elections, because we just have a classic stalemate situation. You know, as I say, yesterday we were talking about Naftali Bennett commanding the balance of power. That's all gone away now. That's all been removed from him. And it's interesting how the way that the minimum election threshold works, that you're either out of the Knesset or you're in the Knesset, but with five seats. Those are the two alternatives. There's no parties that are that have members in the Knesset involving numbers of 1, 2, 3, or 4. You're either in with five or you're completely out. That's the way that the threshold works. So just the lie of the land as it is at the moment is that the Likud party looks to be securing around 30 seats. There was a time during the lead up to the election when opinion polls that showed that the Likud would have no more than 25 or 26 seats. So for the Likud, this is a good result considering where they came from. And some people are saying, well, the Pfizer vaccine has not necessarily saved the people of Israel, but it certainly has saved the Prime Minister, because it seems as if that whole vaccination program really had a big influence on him securing these extra 4 or 5 or 6 seats that he seems to have managed to secure just in the last few months as the vaccination program was rolling out. Mm-hmm. And so thank you to Albert Bourla and the executives of Pfizer. We are also told that the Prime Minister was phoning Albert Bourla at least 10 times a day at one stage in order to try and make sure that all those vaccines were going to be available in Israel. And I think he understood the extent to which his life was literally hanging on a thread pending the arrival of these vaccines and the successful rollout of the vaccination program. That seems really to have worked for him. 30 seats. The next biggest party in the Knesset will be Yesh Atid. That's Yair Lapid's party. 17 seats. And then we have a series of Shas with 9 seats. Kachol Lavan, the blue-white party under Benny Gantz with 8 seats. Yamina, that's in Naftali Bennett's party, with 7 seats. Labour miraculously securing 7 seats coming from absolutely nowhere. The United Torah Judaism party also 7 seats. Yisrael Beiteinu, Avigdor Lieberman's party, 7 seats. The Joint Arab List, 6 seats. Religious Zionism, that's the controversial right-wing modern Orthodox party, 6 seats. Tikva Chadasha, the New Hope party under Gideon Saar, 6 seats. Meretz, 5. And it looks as if the Ra'am will also have 5 seats. So that's the current lie of the land. There are still some votes to be counted. Apparently the election officials have had their rest and they're ready to move ahead. So there are still some votes, the double sealed votes that are being counted at the moment. I'm not sure that they're necessarily going to shift this particular situation too much. It's fascinating that the IDF soldiers turned out in much greater numbers this year than was the case previously. Something like 77% of all IDF soldiers who were eligible to vote turned up and did vote. It's the highest turnout by IDF soldiers in the last 20 years in any election. So that really brought the national average up a little, even though it wasn't quite at 70%, more around 68% in the end in terms of the number of people who cast their vote. votes. So that is really where things stand, and they're unlikely to change, I would suggest, until after Pesach and then after the last few votes have been counted up and put into the system. But I think that where we're at now is probably where we are going to be when the final tally is announced.
So interesting that most of the parties, the majority of the parties, just sitting at anywhere between 5 and 7 seats. That just seems to be the standard almost. Did you just mention what was Naftali Bennett expecting?
In terms of the number of seats that he was hoping. I'm not sure what he was hoping to get. I can tell you that in the last election, he had 6 seats. So I'm not sure that his expectations were a lot higher than that. There were times that in the opinion polls, he was doing a lot better when things on the coronavirus front were really going south and things were really not working out well. Naftali Bennett had become very, very popular in the opinion polls. I couldn't quite understand it at the time because I don't think he'd done very much. But I think that was exactly the point. If you don't do very much, then you can't do very much wrong. And so I think that while the Prime Minister was doing he was just, sitting and literally treading water while the Prime Minister was making all the mistakes. And so, therefore, his popularity went down and Naftali Bennett's popularity went up just because people had to go somewhere. But I don't think that they necessarily were supporting him because they felt he was doing all the right things. And that's ultimately what transpired. So he has probably 1 seat more than he had in the last election, perhaps a little bit less than he'd hoped for, and certainly somewhat less than some of the opinion polls suggested, let's say, 3 to 4 months ago.
Amazing. Pesach begins over the weekend. Preparations are in full swing. Is this Pesach, Anthony, going to be like all others?
Well, this is a very strange Pesach because we have the Seder night on Saturday night. Today is already the day of the fast of the firstborn, Tanit Bechorot. This is a traditional fast that's really on the day before Pesach. But because Pesach falls at Motzei Shabbat, at the end of Shabbat, the fast will not take place, not on Saturday and not on Friday. So it's been brought forward to today. And of course, it's traditional for those firstborn males who would ordinarily fast to commemorate the fact that they were saved or their type was saved during that plague of the killing of the firstborn. It's traditionally finished with a siyum, with the completion of a piece of study from the Torah, from the Talmud, and from the Mishnah perhaps, and then a little bit of a party which breaks the fast and which really relieves them of their responsibility to continue to fast today. And of course, we will do everything a little bit accelerated. So even though Israel generally has 1 day less of Pesach than the rest of the world, this year we've got that extra day almost added on because Saturday we already have to be kind of prepared for Pesach and almost behaving as if though it was Pesach, even though it's not quite Pesach yet, but of course because of the issue of Shabbat. There will be a burning of chametz tomorrow. All the bread in Israel will be burnt, and it's quite traditional to burn your last crumbs of bread that you've picked up from your house along with your lulav, which you've kept from Sukkot of last Sukkot. It's quite traditional for it all to be burnt together. The municipality usually sets up these communal burning facilities so that people don't set light to their houses while trying to do it independently. This Pesach is a different Pesach from last year. There's no doubt that this night will be different from not only all other nights, but even from this same night last year, because we all remember that last year was the Pesach of the balcony Manishtana, where everybody had to be only in their own home. Nobody was allowed to be visiting anybody else. And those people who were alone for Pesach, and there were quite a number of them, were advised to go outside to be on their balconies or in their gardens, and that the other people, the neighborhood children, would come out and would sing Manishtana at a certain time that was pre-assigned. And that was quite an amazing event to experience last year. We won't be doing that this year. Everybody will be able to go along to their usual locations and to have a joint Seder together with members of their families and friends. So this Pesach is going to be a lot more like the ones that we used to know about. It will be a night that's different from all other nights, but hopefully a Pesach that is not different from all the others that we've had previously, even though last year for sure was a very different one. So cleaning is in full force. People are really, I mean, when you walk around the streets, the municipality has made facilities available for people to throw out anything that they don't need. It's traditional time of year to throw out even your washing machine and even your tumble dryer and replace it with new, because this is the time of year when you seem to want to replace everything with new. And so people are putting their things out, and the municipality are collecting at an alarming rate all manner of things that are being thrown out, sofas and beds and couches and carpets and anything that people think they might want to get rid of for Pesach. Now is your chance to get rid of it all, and it's all out there on the streets being collected. So definitely much more of a Pesach feeling atmosphere than we had last time around. And I hope that the same is true for all the listeners. Those people will be celebrating Pesach. It is my wish to you that you will have a good Pesach, first of all, a healthy Pesach, and then, of course, one which has all the traditions, a Pesach kasher v'sameach, that you will be able to spend with your family, that you will be able to ask all the questions, not only the four pre-assigned questions, but ask all of the other questions as well, and hopefully we will have the answers to all of those. And I guess that I will join you guys not on Monday, which is for us a working day, but I guess on Tuesday when you will be back in the studio.
Absolutely right. Anthony Reich, have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, a Pesach Kasher V'Sameach. Enjoy the time, and we, of course, will chat to you on Tuesday morning. It's